From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. You are tuned in to the Francesca Luca Show. My web address is talkwithfrancesca.com. And if you miss part of this show, I would love you to hop on over to my iTunes page or Spotify and listen there. And I would really love it if you would leave a review and hit the subscribe button. This portion of the show is sponsored by Stein Masonry Construction, providing high-quality construction and hardscaping services to commercial and residential clients. Their experienced team specializes in a variety of services for your outdoor living, and I can personally endorse their work. Gil Stein and his experienced team are absolutely unmatched. Call them today. You will be glad that you did. All right, we're going to dive right in. Have you ever looked at your partner and thought, I love you, but I miss having my own place? My guest tonight is award-winning journalist and author Vicki Larson, who set out to answer that question for couples everywhere. She rejects the classic narratives about female marriage roles and aging as a woman, and believes the traditional nuclear family, quote-unquote, is definitely not for everyone. Happy families come in all forms, and embracing new ones can be a valuable addition to society. On tonight's show, Vicki will talk to us about how the Live Apart Together, better known as LAT relationship, can help a loving couple thrive. If this topic isn't your jam, pass it on to someone who might love it. Welcome, Vicki. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Francesca, thank you so much for having me. I'm just so delighted to be here and talking to your listeners.
So, thank you, Vicki. What is a live-apart relationship specifically?
Okay, so the term was coined in the 1990s by one Norwegian scholar and a Swedish scholar, and their definition was three things have to happen. The couple agrees that they are a committed romantic couple. Others view them as a committed romantic couple. And that they live in separate places. So that's like kind of a traditional way of defining it. Mm-hmm. For my book and for the way I write and for what I observe, that's very restrictive because sometimes people do share a same roof, maybe in a duplex, or maybe they sleep in separate bedrooms or have separate parts of the house. So I wanted to be inclusive of that. And I also wanted to be inclusive of people who identify as polyamorous or solo poly in that they have maybe more than one committed couple.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to have a broader, brush to be more inclusive. And actually, there was a task force that the United Nations came up, the Task Force on Families and Households, and they also agreed that, that's a little bit, excluding of too many. So they wanted to make it a little bit more broader, too. And so that's more what I'm agreeing to include everybody under the umbrella.
Do you think that it can help couples increase their happiness in a relationship?
Well, studies would say yes. However, and this is a big however, it certainly isn't for everybody. We hear a lot of talk about attachment styles. So if you are insecurely attached, this is not the way to live with your romantic partner. If you're a jealous person or have trust issues, this probably is not the best way to be with your partner. If both of you are not on the same page about it,
right,
this is probably not going to be a great relationship option. And I don't say that it's a better option. say it is an option. And, you know, certainly what we saw in the past few years with the pandemic and the lockdowns, when some of us, not all of us, but some of us were able to work from home, we saw that living with our loved ones 24/7 was hard. Very hard.
Yeah.
And we also saw sometimes that people who normally lived with their partner, but maybe were frontline workers and were exposed to COVID patients and wanted to protect their loved ones, mm-hmm. slept and lived separately for a while. Or when you yourself or a loved one got COVID and needed to isolate for, you know, in those days it was like about 2 weeks,
right.
Lived separately. Some of those people thought, oh, that was, it wasn't great being sick, but it was kind of nice having.
I didn't have to listen to your snoring.
Yeah, you know, the proverbial room of your own. And so it can work for many, many people. And it doesn't work for other people, even people who try it and go, you know what?
Yeah.
We gave it a good shot, but I really want someone 24/7, or maybe not 24/7, right. but at least yeah. a little bit more.
So if I'm understanding it correctly, on the low end of the spectrum would be just sleeping in separate bedrooms. On the high end of the spectrum would be having a polyamorous lifestyle.
That would be, very high. But, you know, that's not... Well, I don't really know how many people identify as polyamorous. A lot more people are saying that they are. But, yeah, that would be the big stretch. And happily in the middle is people who choose this lifestyle because it works best for their individual needs and for them as a couple. And that, I need to make another distinction, too. There are many people who live apart, but they don't really want to live apart.
Right.
They're living apart because maybe
yeah.
their jobs are in different places or the schools. I didn't write my book for those people because often those people, the end goal is to live together, and that's yep. more what I would consider a long-distance relationship. But for people who are actually choosing this lifestyle, and there are many who do choose it, and increasingly more and more are choosing it, especially of a certain demographic, that's the happy medium between those two extremes, yes.
What is the demographic that is most likely to live this way?
Well, it is very popular with people around my age. I'm in my 60s. So people in their, let's say, 50s and older, often people who are divorced or widowed and have been there, done that with a traditional kind of marriage. And perhaps not surprisingly, it is overwhelmingly driven by women as a way to kind of quote-unquote undo gender. And I think any woman in your audience might know what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't, so tell me.
Okay. Okay.
Unless I heard you wrong. Undo gender, is that what you said?
Yes. Okay. If you're a heterosexual woman, and I'm talking now about
yeah.
heterosexual women who
yeah.
live with men,
yep.
there are many expectations of women, even women who really, really want an equitable romantic partnership. There's still a lot of expectations for women to do the caregiving, the housekeeping, the child giving, the emotional support and gatekeeping of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something, you know, even in this day and age, even for couples who are very, very, you know, modern and progressive thinking, it often happens when children come into play. And not everyone has children. We know there's a lot of childless cat ladies out there.
I had one of those on my show recently. Go ahead.
But that is often what happened. And for, you know, for older women who either didn't have children or whose children are grown and they're empty nesters, you know, they've done that caregiving, and the way that they want to meet, they want to have a committed relationship, but they want to, they're fiercely protective of their independence
mm-hmm.
and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a way that they can do it. And it's not to say that they don't do caregiving or won't cook for their partner or even maybe do some child care or whatever. It's just that they get to do it on their terms. Mm. And that is a really different thing.
So I guess I'm thinking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if...
I think about that a lot.
What'd you say?
I said I think about that a lot.
Yeah. So, before we even talk about sex, so are you in one of these relationships?
Well, I don't have a romantic partner right now, but I have been divorced for 20 years, mm-hmm. and I have not lived with a man in those 20 years, even though I've had romantic partners. And I want to say that at first, this is not something I chose. So after my divorce ended, it was my second divorce, but it was a long-standing marriage. We were married for 15 years and had two children from that. And when I divorced, I was middle-aged. And my children were still pretty young, mm-hmm. 9 and 12. Mm-hmm. I had a partner, and we were together for almost 8 years, and I just kind of assumed that when our children got older, we would live together. This is the romantic script I knew. This is what is called the relationship escalator, right? Mm-hmm. You fall on a date, you fall in love, you become a monogamous couple, you live together, marry, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that is really all I knew. And so I would ask my partner at the time, do you think we'll live together when the kids get older? And he'd be vague, and I'd be sad. And then I'd ask in another year, and then he'd be coy, and I'd be sad. And eventually I stopped asking because I kind of looked at my life, and my former husband and I had 50-50 physical custody, so that my kids were with their dad for a week, and they were with me for a week. And so, the week that my kids were with me, full-on mom, but the week that my kids were with their dad, I had freedom.
Yeah.
The kind of freedom I hadn't had in the 15 years we were married and the 2 years that we lived together before. So 17 years. And I want to tell you, Francesca, it felt like a gift. It felt like, oh, wow, if I knew that this could happen, maybe we could have stayed married. And so I was an accidental lack,
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I would never live with someone, but I might, with the right person, under the right situation, and with a lot of conversations of being very intentional about what we're doing and why we're doing it.
What would be some reasons that you would do it?
If that was really, really important to my partner, and it did not involve me uprooting myself too far from my community. I've lived in my area. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I've lived here in the same house for 37. I lived in the Bay Area for 38 years in the same house for 37, and I am very entrenched in my community. I have a lot of friends. My children are close by. I would not want to go to another state or another country. Sometimes people do, but I would certainly consider, moving to be with a partner who was a few hours drive from where my friends and my children. So that would be a big condition, for me.
Mm-hmm.
And also I would probably want to make sure that I had a room of my own, that we had maybe separate rooms. Not to say that we would sleep separately, but I would really like to have a place where I could go and just be Vicky.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, Quinn is saying that we need to take a break, but we didn't get to sex. But we'll talk about sex when we come back. Listeners, stay with us here. We've got lots more to cover.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks, but sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will.
Looking for a touch of luxury amidst the chaos of summer? Let the team at Browse Boutique and Spa highlight your natural beauty. Browse Boutique and Spa, located right in the heart of Cape Cod, is a wonderful place to be wonderful. Owner Dina Bowers brings 13 years of beauty industry experience. They offer permanent makeup, facials, waxing, nails, and more, complete with fresh tea or coffee and breathtaking views of the Cape. Browse Boutique and Spa is open Tuesday through Friday from 9 to 5 and Saturday 9 to 4. Book online at browseboutiquespa.com or call 508-743-5639.
Are you tired of looking tired, experiencing hormone changes or weight gain? You are not alone. Skin Aesthetics and Buzzards Bay can help you on your journey to live well and be well. If you're looking for a comfortable experience to have your medical spa and wellness treatments and want to restore that youthful beauty to your skin, I've found just the place, Skin Aesthetics in Buzzards Bay. From dermafillers to biostimulators, neurotoxins, and PRP treatments, Angela Nelson is your go-to for medical skin treatments to give you that rejuvenated look and feel. With over 20 years' experience and glowing reviews from many satisfied clients, you can trust Angela Nelson to help you reach your wellness goals. Treat the signs of aging and gravity with all the tools to turn back the clock and get back your vitality. You don't want to wait. Plus, Skin Aesthetics offers other wellness services like body sculpting, contouring, and IV therapy. Embrace the fountain of youth. Begin your journey of self-care today. Visit skin-aesthetics-ma.com. You'll be glad you did.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I am speaking to the author of Latitude. That's L-A-T, and that's in all caps. How you can make living apart together relationship work. Welcome back, Vicki.
Thanks, Francesca.
So, every trad wife out there is probably freaking out listening to this, right?
I am sure.
Oh, my goodness. I have to confess, you know, so I have a couple of interns working for me, and one of them said, you should interview a trad wife. And so the next time I spoke to her, I said, have you found a guest for the trad wife show? She said, oh, no, that's not what it's called. It's a trad wife. And she's got me all into it now. And it's like, oh, wow. So I've kind of been looking into it. If I'm going to have a trad wife on my show, I'd like to know what I'm talking about. But anyway. So, you know, I will say one thing that does cross my mind is that, you know, couples that play together, stay together, couples that, you know, spend time together. And that doesn't mean necessarily during your sleeping hours. However, I think that there's, you know, my thought process is it could be dangerous. It could be very easy to, the sex life could just go. That's the first thing I think of, is because, let's face it, sometimes you're in bed with your partner and either you want sex, he wants sex, but you both don't want it. But whatever, you're a couple and, you know, you try to satisfy the other one. So my first thought would be, what does that do to the sex life?
Well, I hate to bust your idea of...
I feel so naive and silly.
All the research says that not only do live apart together partners have sex, but they often have better sex. So just because because you're living under the same roof and maybe even in the same bed does not mean that you're having sex.
Well, that's for sure.
Yes, we've all heard in recent years, right? And read articles about you know, people aren't having sex and sexless marriages. Well, given that living apart together couples are a very small minority, maybe about 10% across the globe, give or take, or even, you know, that's not a lot. That means that most of the people who are not having sex are people who are living together. And as psychotherapist and author Esther Perel writes in her book, Mating in Captivity, love longs for closeness, but desire thrives on distance.
So really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is true. And so, you know, to make a relationship work, you have to find a happy balance of that. And so when you don't see your partner every day, and I need to say that some live apart together couples see each other every day and they sleep together every night. You know, they live close to each other and that's what they do. And then they go home to their separate places. And others, they don't see each other for, you know, a week or maybe 2 weeks. So there's no cookie cutter way of what it looks like. It's what works for the couple. But when you don't see your couple, your partner every day, let's say, you miss them. Missing them makes you think about how much you desire them. You idealize them according to research. Now, maybe that doesn't sound good because maybe idealizing them is just seeing them through rose-colored glasses and you're only seeing the good stuff of them. Yeah, well, you know what? When you only think about the good stuff about them and not the toothpaste is off the tap again or she's hanging her bras and panties in the shower even though you told her not to do that or the toilet paper roll is on the wrong way again, you are thinking about all the things about them that you love. And, you know, research shows, despite all of the myths about women and our sexuality, research shows that women lose interest within 2 years with a sexual partner.
And in general, just across the board. You're just talking about just a couple. After 2 years, a woman loses sexual interest.
Generally, yes, and it's not necessarily, I mean, everyone thinks that women are much more monogamous and need to be and should be monogamous than men, and you know, there have been many people who have busted that myth, and so this is certainly a way to increase the novelty. Now, you do have to work on your intimacy, and you have to be creative about your intimacy, right? And thankfully, we have technology now, and if you're comfortable using technology, that's great, where you can do that. I mean, couples can send little, you know, sexts or little naughty videos, or one therapist I spoke to has a couple who live apart together, and they are writing an erotic novel together. So he writes something, then sends it to her, and she writes. And so there's many, many ways to be creative. And so what you want to do if you don't see your partner and have sex with your partner as, you know, often, you have to keep it, what he told me, kind of like on a simmer, where you're just kind of keeping the erotic tension going. And, you know, honestly, by the time you see your partner, you're into it.
Yeah. Why would you, why is it that I've never heard that before, that women after 2 years of being with their partner, they're not interested in sex anymore?
Well, it's not that they're not interested. It's just that they get bored. We need novelty. Yes, and I do believe that that factoid comes from Wednesday Martin's book, Untrue.
Wednesday Martin. Yeah. I interviewed her a while ago, but that wasn't, I didn't think that was the name of her book. But maybe maybe it was.
She has a few books.
Oh, okay.
She has a few. She has Primates of Park Avenue and a number of other books. But her book about women and their sexuality, in which she delves deep into it, is called Untrue. And Richard Bregner also had a book a few years before her that also had similar research and studies, and I think he was called What Do Women Want? And so, and I think even if you want to go way, way in the way back machine, Cher Height and her wonderful book that came out in the 70s, The Height Report, where, you know, thousands of women told her what turned them on and what didn't, also kind of say the same thing. And so,
why do you think that is, though?
Well, I honestly, I can't say that. I mean, I didn't get bored with my former husband, you know, in 15 years of marriage. But, you know, and also, let's face it, your sexual desire ebbs and flows throughout the life cycle.
Yep.
You know, you're teen years, you're young and in love, and then kids come and, like, okay, it might plummet a little bit. And then you get, you know, so it ebbs and flows, and there's a lot of pressure on being sexual all the time, especially now, the sexy senior, where, like, sexuality is an important part of, quote-unquote, aging well, which is a very bad term. There's many ways to age. And everybody has different sexual needs and desires. But, you know, what we always have historically heard is that women desire monogamy, and a lot of the research says actually not so much. We don't need it anymore. We're not better at it or need it any more than men.
Okay, we are going to take another short break, but then I would like to talk a little bit more about why women are more interested in lat relationships than men. So listeners, stay with us here. Don't go anywhere.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Train the way the Navy SEALs and pro athletes train with Ultimate Human Performance, a training program crafted by best-selling author and master physiokinesiologist Joe Hippensteel. Ultimate Human Performance teaches you the world's most advanced training methods to eliminate pain and injury. They've helped change the lives of over 10,000 clients across 56 countries and will change your life too. Do you suffer from chronic pain? Are you looking to regain the flexibility you had when you were young? The Joe Hippensteel method will give you back your youth, eliminate pain, and help build a better you. And the best part is, you can do it all from the comfort of your home with Ultimate Human Performance's online video courses. Learn everything from the fundamentals to advanced techniques to help relieve your pain for good. Looking for something in person? Book a one-on-one session or attend one of Ultimate Human Performance's three-day seminar events. Reclaim your body with Joe Hippensteel's Ultimate Human Performance. Find out how to live pain-free today at ultimatehumanperformance.com.
Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria's Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed, and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
The time is now to finally install that new patio or fire pit that's been in your dreams. Your home is ready to be beautified with stonework, but when the time comes, you want and need the best. That's where Stein Masonry comes in. Stein Masonry provides the best in high-quality construction and hardscaping services. With an experienced and dedicated team, they'll tailor any project to your specifications. When you decide it's time to enhance your home, don't mess with less than the best. Trust the guys you know. Stein Masonry. Family-owned and operated and local. Visit them online today for a free quote at steinmasonry.com. Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back. Did you know that Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker, who were married in 2022, live a block away from each other? Excuse me. David and Victoria Beckham's house has been designed with his and her wings. All right, this is what we are discussing tonight with author Vicki Larson. She's the author of Latitude, How You Can Make a Live Apart, Together Relationship Work. Welcome back, Vicki.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
So, Vicki, before the break, I had asked you, are women, that women seem to be more interested in lat relationships than men. Now, I just thought of something. This is just really interesting. And I thought about this during the break, that it seems like women have more of a tolerance to being alone than men. It's kind of interesting. I knew this. It was an old neighbor, and he lost his wife back 2 years ago. And when I had spoken to him, when she had first passed away, like within a couple of months, he was just beyond devastated. You know, talked about how he can see now how people die of broken hearts, and it just it seemed like he's never getting over this woman, never. And you know, without getting into all sorts of details, but. And then I just found out he got married, and it's been 2 years. It's like, what? Wait, how did this happen? And it also makes me think about my nephew's wife's brother-in-law, so his wife had also passed away, and it was like a year, and he was engaged. And I do hear that frequently, but every time I do, it's like, oh, wow, that was quick. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. It is no judgment whatsoever. but, you know, it does seem that women have more tolerance to being alone. And I know this is not, we're not talking about being alone, but it's sort of along the same vein than men. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yes, and it's not really alone. It's just that, you know, because overwhelmingly men don't have as many friends as women. I think that's very sad, and I think that's something as a society we should really encourage and nurture men's friendships. As a matter of fact, when I meet someone on a date, like if I'm considering dating someone, one of the first questions I ask is, tell me about your best friend. Oh. And if a man doesn't have a friend, that is a big red flag to me. Because men tend to put all their emotional eggs into their romantic partner's basket, which is a heavy burden for women. Mm-hmm. And then if there is a end of a relationship, whether through a breakup or a death, it can be devastating, where women tend to, and again, we're generalizing here, but the research will show that this is true, that women tend to be the ones that maintain all the friendship and familial bonds. We're the ones who send the birthday cards and the organize and buy the gifts and this and that, and we maintain friends and this and that. And so, yes, so in the event of, you know, a split or a divorce or a death, we have kind of a community that is supportive of us, because we've nurtured those relationships. And so, you know, that makes it easier for us to be able to transition into a live-apart-together relationship. And, you know, often the studies will say that, you know, older women, you know, they're not getting married, but the older men are getting, you know, married, as including your person that you referenced. And it's like, yes, because the women don't want to do that again. We've
right.
done that.
Yeah, been there, done that. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I do have a quote in my book from a study that said, men in live apart together relationships compared to women in live apart together relationships might be less satisfied in their relationship than married or cohabiting men, because they may be missing out on women's unpaid labor and caregiving.
Mm.
So now you can understand why some women prefer to live apart together. I mean, that pretty much says it all right there, right?
Do you think that is the reason this relationship style is becoming more popular? And but by the way, I didn't know it was becoming more popular. Like, how much more popular is it becoming?
Well, it still is a small percentage.
Like how much? What percentage?
So around 10%.
Oh, that's small.
Here's the problem, Francesca. The problem is, in the United States, our census and other population censuses elsewhere don't have a category for that. They have single, married, divorced, widowed, and sometimes they have married spouse living elsewhere. Does that mean your spouse is in jail? Does that mean your spouse works in the military and is overseas? We don't have a category, so it's very, very hard. And social scientists now are saying, hey, you know what? This is becoming a real thing, and we haven't studied it enough, and we need to get some specifics on it, because they're seeing it as a new family form. But as I mentioned earlier, it's predicted about 10%. Of the globe is living apart together. And in Britain, where most of the studies come from, actually, about 25% of the people who are statistically, quote-unquote, single, actually have a romantic partner who lives elsewhere. But again, you know, social scientists are finding that because it is popular with, well, let's just say boomers. I'm a boomer. Mm-hmm. The people, you know, if they're 60s and older, that they are actually calling it, they want to distinguish it from, you know, other, you know, people who are younger and maybe want to live together at some point. They're calling it LLAT, later in life, living apart together. So, but they are noticing that it is kind of a growing thing. Yeah.
You know, it seems to me that, you know, there's really not that big a difference between if you're married, like, why bother to be married? Because if you're dating and you're living in a separate, you have a monogamous relationship, but you live in separate places, like, what's the difference between that and being married?
Well, one of the big myths, I mean, there's many about live apart together relationships, is that you're quote unquote just dating, which is not really true. There are many people who are married and live apart together. And as a matter of fact, the New York Times had an article about 2 years ago called, you know, the wife left, but they're still married. And a lot of women, again, older women, women in their 60s and older, just realized that living under one roof wasn't really working for them. And so they either rented or bought a place of their own, not too far from their husbands. And then they start romantically, they kind of date each other again. They look for, I mean, a lot of people become complacent under one roof, and you cannot become complacent when you live separately. You have to actively work on maintaining that relationship. And, you know, you ask why even get married if you're not going to live together. Well, who said you have to live together if you get married? Remember, kings and queens have separate wings of the castle very often. That was their way of living apart together. And actually, the Victorians, you know, in their prudish kind of ways, thought like, oh no, you should not be sleeping in the same bed. And then things changed. And you know,
whose idea was it to start sleeping together?
Exactly.
What about stigma and judgments? I was just looking at Quinn. You can answer that one first, and then we'll take a break.
Okay, so of course, people, because it isn't all that common, people have a hard time wrapping their head around it. You know, like, again, why even get married if it's not to live together? Well, because we want a committed, loving relationship, and we want to live separately. That's why.
But then you don't need to be married. Then there's no point.
You do, because at least in the United States, I cannot speak for other parts of the world, but in the United States, when you put a ring on it, you get more than 1,100 perks and privileges bestowed upon you from the federal government and more on the state level. And that is why same-sex couples fought so hard for the right to marry. It wasn't that they already didn't love each other. Of course they loved each other. It wasn't because some of them didn't have children together. Of course they had children together. They were excluded from those perks and privileges. Now, should the government put those perks and privileges on people just for their romantic sexual life? I would say no, and a lot of scholars say no. However, that's unlikely to change, so there you go.
Right. Well, and also, too, you know, they love each other. They want that ultimate commitment. You know I have a neighbor, and she's been with her partner for whatever, so many years, 17 years or something, and you know, they are not getting married. She'd love to, but he wants no part of it. So I mean, some people just want, you know, that final clincher. But I am curious what if you choose that path, what you would tell your family and friends who might be concerned. But we'll hold that question until after the break, and then our last segment we can pick up where we left off. So listeners, stay with us here.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks, but sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed, and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will. Are you tired of looking tired, experiencing hormone changes or weight gain? You are not alone. Skin Aesthetics and Buzzards Bay can help you on your journey to live well and be well. If you're looking for a comfortable experience to have your medical spa and wellness treatments and want to restore that youthful beauty to your skin, I've found just the place, Skin Aesthetics in Buzzards Bay. From dermafillers to biostimulators, neurotoxins, and PRP treatments, Angela Nelson is your go-to for medical skin treatments to give you that rejuvenated look and feel. With over 20 years' experience and glowing reviews from many satisfied clients, you can trust Angela Nelson to help you reach your wellness goals. Treat the signs of aging and gravity with all the tools to turn back the clock and get back your vitality. You don't want to wait. Plus, Skin Aesthetics offers other wellness services like body sculpting, contouring, and IV therapy. Embrace the fountain of youth. Begin your journey of self-care today. Visit skin-aesthetics-ma.com. You'll be glad you did.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I am speaking with Vicki Larson. She is the author of Latitude, How You Can Make a Live Apart Together Relationship Work. Big welcome back to you, Vicki. This is really interesting.
Thank you so much. I think so, too.
So, you know, couples... You know, who choose this path, you know, I'm sure there are going to be some, you know, family and friends who, you know, raise their eyebrows. So I was about to say something political and I decided to shut up. He can read my mind. I'll just say you can read my mind, right?
No, totally.
So anyway, but you know, it is kind of, I mean, it is less so than, I mean, I don't know. When it comes to polyamorous relationships, I have to admit, I think it's a little nuts. But that's just my two cents, my opinion. But, you know, maybe I have anxious attachment syndrome or something. I don't know. Somehow or another, I can't imagine having dinner with my husband or partner and then saying, and you know, then I'm done with dinner. It's like, I'm going out with John. I'll be back 11:30. You know, love you. Anyway, so, but again, that's just my two cents. But there is, I'm sure, a little bit of pushback and stigma and judgment attached. So how would you recommend those that choose that?
There is some stigma. There's certainly some judgment, not only of people who are in lat relationships, but anyone who lives outside of the quote-unquote romantic norm of what we think a romantic relationship, quote-unquote, should look like. And what's interesting, Francesca, is that there are people who have careers that keep them away from their family for a long time. There are long-haul truckers who are on the road for a long time. There are CEOs who maybe work in Manhattan and then, you know, fly back to the family compound on the West Coast every weekend, or firefighters who spend several, you know, days at the firehouse or this or that, military who are deployed overseas. We don't seem to have a problem with that because, that's their career is making them do it, but actually to choose to do that? No.
Yeah.
Something must be wrong. And so even people sometimes who are very happy being live apart together, they sometimes question whether this is a quote-unquote legitimate form of intimacy because there isn't a lot of recognition and support from society for it. Now, hopefully that will change sometime because it's a very narrow and punitive form of forcing people to fit into a relationship that only looks like this one. You know, there are many reasons why people work better living apart. Like maybe you're neurodiverse and it's very hard for you to live under the same roof with someone else. So, you know, so always, always, there's a bit of ambivalence in it. What's wrong with me? Why don't I want to live with my partner? But however, there's always ambivalence baked into romantic relationships, no matter what form it takes, right? Mm-hmm. How many people, question, is this a person I really want to marry? Am I doing the right thing? Or am I just buying into what society tells me I should do now that I'm 30 years old? You know, so, and that's okay. It's okay. It's okay to feel a little bit ambivalent. And, you know, no, it's not okay to judge and stigmatize other people for their choices, but this is a society that is very, very judgy.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, as one therapist tells me, you know, if you're really, you know, if you're not being accepted by friends and families, you get to choose.
Yeah, who you want to hang out with, right, exactly.
Absolutely. And, you know, as long as you feel that this is something that is working for you, your partner, partners, and the couplehood or multiple couplehoods, then it's right for you.
Right.
And then that, you know, and hopefully, again, hopefully one day we will be much, and I do see that we are much more accepting of alternative family forms now.
Well, you're right? In San Francisco, right?
Yes. Yes.
New England's still a little Puritan.
Yes. I do. I realize I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area bubble. But, you know, but we're seeing slowly things changing. And, you know, there are, you know, the nuclear family with two children growing up with two married, you know, parents. That is not the norm so much anymore,
right.
Actually. Many people are multiple marriers, and actually, you know, one type of family form that this works well for is people who have children from previous, young children from previous romantic relationships.
Yeah.
You know, who, rather than try to force living under one roof in some Brady Bunch kind of happy thing, which generally isn't all that happy, they prefer to, you know, live apart. At least maybe till their kids are older, but sometimes I just want to continue that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What advice would you give to someone who wants to suggest living apart to their partner?
Well, if you have been living together already, that's a conversation that the therapists I've interviewed tell me needs to be handled with love and kindness and with compassion for how your partner feels, to be able to express, you know, why living together isn't working so great for you, and talk in terms of, you know, and how is it working for you, and would, you know, how do you feel we could be better, and so on and so forth. If you are talking about this with a potential new romantic partner, then, you know, to that's a different conversation, too. Also one that is kind, but one, you know, that kind of is probing, like, how has that worked for you in the past? What did you like about it? What did you not like about it?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do differently, you know, moving forward in a new romantic relationship, you know?
I would think it would be easier if you hadn't already been living together to just stay apart. Yeah,
well,
I'll get married, but you have to stay in your house and I'll stay in mine.
Yes. And you know, I mean, again, like I said, the New York Times had an article, like, the wife left, but they're still married. And a lot of the women who chose to live apart from their husbands, again, saw this as an investment in their marriage. This isn't working, and so maybe they were on the edge of a divorce, which is costly, which also means that you're not going to be living generally in the same house. Someone's going to have to move, or both of you are going to have to move anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what are you willing to do to work on your marriage and make your marriage better if having space apart would save the marriage. And again, that has worked for many, many people. And I want to say that, you know, at the time I didn't pay attention to it, but when I was newly married at age 20, I dropped out of college to follow my boyfriend, my first, and then married him out to Colorado. I wasn't really paying attention to what my parents were doing. But my mom, a 50s-era suburban housewife, Holocaust survivor who'd never lived alone, left my dad, bought herself a condo in Miami. We lived in New York, got herself a job, and had a whole life in Miami. And my dad would come down once a month with Teddy, our little Yorkie. And they did that for about 10 years until my dad retired and he moved down to Florida with her. And, you know, again, I was not really paying attention to what my mother was doing or my parents were doing. But when I got divorced at midlife, my second divorce, I had a heart-to-heart talk with my mom about being a wife, about being a mother, what would she have done differently. And then I said to her, "Mom, what the actual hell?" And she said, "I had enough." And I wish I had asked her, like, "So how did you bring this up with Dad?" But I didn't, because I'm pretty sure she drove that relationship decision. And I certainly would not recommend anybody to say, "I've had enough." But, you know, as a wife and a mother of many years at that point, I knew exactly what she meant.
Oh, my gosh, so, Vicky. Oh, this is too funny. I wish we had more time. I could talk about this for hours. This is fascinating, and you have been an awesome guest. Totally loved our conversation. Listeners, the name of the book is called Latitude, L-A-T in all caps, Attude, by Vicky Larson. She was conducting extensive research and interviews about how you can make a live apart together relationship work. Vicky, thanks so much for being on the show. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
It has been my pleasure, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Vicky. All right, we need to wrap things up and say goodnight. Hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. If you missed part of the show, you can go over to my Apple Podcast page or my Spotify page and listen there. See you next week, same time, same place. Make it a great week. Agora tá chorando pelo que...
Senin ankerin.